Or all of the above. It's all good. You're just maturing. Puberty is a process that lasts years, hits differently for everybody, and can last till you're around 20. So how do the changes show up? You may get pimples, mostly on your face, but on your body too. Hair. The hair you have on your arms and legs may get thicker and darker, and you'll likely grow hair in new places, like your face, armpits, chest, and pubic area. Stretch marks are common too, a sign of your adult body taking shape. Physical changes, from body odor to growth spurts, are just part of the puberty story. All kinds of new feelings may come on too, like crushes and being sexually turned on. It's super common to feel like your emotions suddenly turn on and off, sad, angry, or irritated. No matter how you're feeling about all these changes to your body, remember that puberty is a normal part of growing up, and knowing what to expect can help to make it feel a lot less weird or stressful. Want to learn more? Go to PlannedParenthood.org/teens.
And you're listening to radio station WUSB in Stony Brook, broadcasting at 90.1 FM, 107.3 FM, and over the internet at WUSB.FM. Well, it's a Tuesday night. It's 6 o'clock. It's January 21st. And here we go. It's time for another edition of Off the Wall.
Thank you.
And welcome to Off the Wall. As you know, whenever there's a new administration in town, we change our theme. And we had contentious meetings, even a retreat at one point to decide what the next theme will be. And I like the theme that we just heard. I do. Unfortunately, that was not the theme that we picked. But I insisted that we play that just so that people could hear what was in second place. So, we're going to go back to the top of the... Thank you for indulging me, Kyle. No, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, I think it was appropriate to give people a little insight into how hard it was
to find
consensus.
I'm never going to hear that again. I thought it was a beautiful theme.
It had all the hallmarks of a good theme for Off the Wall, but we gave it a lot of thought.
A lot of thought.
And it didn't quite seem appropriate.
Well, that was some people's opinion. But fine. Okay, well, you know, we heard it. I got what I asked for. Now we go back to the top of the hour. It's 6 o'clock. You're listening to WUSB in Stony Brook, broadcasting at 90.1 FM, 107.3 FM, and over the internet at WUSB.FM. And now it's a Tuesday evening. It's time once again for another exciting episode of Off the Wall. That is our theme. You know what? I think you won me over. I think, not that it's you. It was a whole committee, but, this could work. It's short. This is the shortest theme we've ever had. It's shorter than the one we played at the top of the hour, but I think this is the one.
It's the one.
The one's not the one. All right. Well, okay, so welcome to Off the Wall. As we go through a second Trump administration, this is going to be something. This is going to be a challenge.
Buckle up.
Yeah, sir, I strap in and sign your insurance policies and everything else that you need to do.
Yeah, update your beneficiaries.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And our phone lines tonight are open. I know a lot of people are going through some stress. I kind of feel it myself. And if you want to talk to us about anything that's going on, if you just want to unleash, yes, people are texting us already. If you just want to unleash your feelings, that's fine. That's fine. Screaming is good. It doesn't always work on the phone. But
pace yourself.
Yeah, just
that's some advice I've seen.
Absolutely. So the phone number, it's not the usual radio station phone number. It's a different number. And that would be 802-321-4225.
Are we going ringer on or not?
Let's put the ringer on because okay. Oftentimes we get so engrossed in things that we don't really hear what's going on.
Ew, sick.
Yeah, that's what happens. So I'm trying to turn everything that has audio off.
Yeah.
All right, good. So 802-321-4225, if you have any thoughts or comments on things that you may have heard, experienced in the news over the past, 24 hours or so, or more. It's been something else. I don't even know where to begin. let me just say, speaking as somebody who could not be said to be in support of what's currently going on in our nation's government. That's about as nice as I can say it. I feel pretty good. I feel pretty good because I feel somewhat vindicated. I feel like we're on the right side of history. I feel like these years ahead are going to strengthen us. And I feel like I would not, under any circumstances, want to be in the position that the people who, quote-unquote, won this time are going to find themselves in. It is not going to be pleasant for them. It is certainly not going to be pleasant for them. And, yes, we are going to feel pain as well. We get to react. We get to react to that pain, and they can't escape our reactions. And just don't forget the power that you have. All right, you know, let's start off with something that I think we may have all heard about by now. Maybe some of us watched it live. I was kind of fascinated by the whole specter that was going on pretty much throughout the entire day. But the one thing that really kind of got me more than almost anything is what we all saw Elon Musk do. You know, it's the guy's out of control. We all know that. He's like a child sometimes, a child with way too much in the basically resources, I guess is the best way to say it. The richest guy in the world, getting richer by the day. But said or did yesterday was shocking. It was absolutely shocking. He was giving, a rather jubilant speech. I guess he just couldn't contain himself because right there on stage in front of the world, he gave what is unmistakably a Nazi salute where basically you pound your chest and you point your hand out straight in that Heil Hitler type of pose. There was no mistaking it. And it's just, it's something. It's incredible to see his cronies and Republicans and all the people coming in, and the media to an extent as well, bending over backwards, twisting themselves into pretzels, trying to explain what he actually meant. You know, this is before he said a word about any of it. Now, keep in mind, this is a guy that comes from an apartheid regime in South Africa, back when apartheid was in its heyday. This is a guy who is currently lobbying for the far-right fascist political group in Germany. This is a guy who has is anti-immigrant. This is a guy who spews racist rhetoric. This is a guy who is basically second only to Trump, I think, in power. He basically is around Trump all the time now.
He's also a fat troll.
Well, there's that. There's that as well. There's no question that what he did was a Nazi salute. I don't know if, he was just so overwhelmed by emotion that he couldn't contain himself. But what really strikes me is how we're not giving this the attention it really deserves. I mean, it is getting attention, mostly from foreign news agencies. I saw CNN last night where they showed an excerpt of the clip, and they edited around the Nazi salute. They showed him basically trying to save it by saying, you know, I from my heart, you know, as if that's how you express that sentiment. When have you ever seen somebody make that particular gesture, a gesture that is very familiar to everybody all over the world? When have you ever seen that gesture made by somebody who is expressing how he feels from the heart? Yeah, maybe you pound your chest, sure. But the unmistakable salute, you know. And some people are saying, well, it's not a Nazi salute. It's a Roman salute. Not much better. Not much better. The Roman salute basically was adopted by Mussolini and his fascists in Italy. And then it was adopted by the Nazis. So they're related. It's the same basic thing. So no, that's not going to get you out of this either. what a way to start. What a way to start all of this. But what gets me is the people who are willing to excuse it. You know who defended Musk? The Anti-Defamation League. Yeah, the Anti-Defamation League. They're an organization that was founded to combat anti-Semitism. Yeah. They say, and these are their words, without talking to anybody, it seems that Elon Musk made an awkward gesture in a moment of enthusiasm, not a Nazi salute. They concluded that, based on nothing. Based on just what they hoped. Meanwhile, these guys are fawning over Trump, congratulating Trump, saying we wish you the best, and condemning anyone who believes in Palestinian rights. If you say that, you're anti-Semitic, according to the Anti-Defamation League. This group has become a travesty of what it used to stand for, which was extremely important. And now it's a joke. They defend Nazi salutes. They condemn people who want freedom and equal rights for downtrodden groups of people, minorities, or people of a displaced nation. It's disgusting. It really is disgusting. But this is how you find out who people really are. Now, that was just one thing. There were so many. I mean, Trump gave three different speeches yesterday. And you would think, you know, after being all gracious with Biden and his wife, coming in for tea, being welcomed home, you know, in Biden's words, being treated in a civilized manner, peaceful transfer of power, all of that. And the right thing to do, I think, would have been to give a unifying speech. At least one of the three times that you're talking in front of people, give a unifying speech. Talk to the people who may not support you. Talk to people like me. Talk to people like Kyle. That's not what happened. Did we really expect that was going to happen? I mean, is that what Zuckerberg is all about? Is that what all these billionaires that are basically kissing the ring, is that what they hope? Is that what they think is going to happen? That, yeah, he's going to have a big tent. He's going to let everybody in. No. He immediately started the same attacks. He immediately started bragging about how much he won by and how it's no one's ever seen anything like this before, and spreading lies, just lie after lie after lie, saying that he won the youth vote by 36 points. What does that even mean? He lost the youth vote by like 11 points or something. He didn't win anything like that. But it becomes the narrative because he keeps saying it over and over again, and people believe it. If you say something over and over again, who said that? If you keep repeating something, it becomes the truth. Was that Hitler who said that? It was somebody. It was a Hitler-esque person who said that. If you just keep telling the masses the same lie over and over again, it becomes the truth. This is the MO of this incoming administration. You saw it yesterday. He didn't give a unifying speech. He gave a divisive speech. Why? He won. He's in power. He is what's known as a sore winner. He can't let it go. And then, you know, you see the media roundly condemning who? Joe Biden. Yeah, because that's what we do now. We condemn the loser. All right, so we condemn Joe Biden because why? He pardoned members of his family, and he did it in a way that Trump didn't know about. Oh, my God, the horror. Well, okay, if I were to threaten your family, I wouldn't, but if I were, if I were to say, yeah, you know, I'm gonna go after your brother, your sister, your mother, your father. I'm gonna target them. Would you be wrong to try and protect them however you could? Well, I mean, are you gonna protect them? Why? They didn't do anything wrong. Why do you feel the need to protect them? You should meet the challenge of the person who threatened them, right? I mean, that's what we're saying when we condemn Joe Biden for giving his family a preemptive pardon to protect themselves from Trump, who has said he's going to go after them for nothing. They're not accused of a crime, except in his demented brain. But we're saying, oh, but he was so sneaky. He did that while he was having tea with Trump. It was going on in the background, and Trump didn't know about it. And it was revealed at the inauguration. And I say, bravo, if only Biden had done more things like that. Trump is a criminal mastermind. He is an organized crime leader. It's appropriate that his first name is Don. All right? He basically threatened Biden's family for no reason other than what their last name was. And Joe Biden protected his family. And that's what you do. And you don't apologize for it. And you certainly don't condemn him for doing that. How many times have we seen Trump and his ilk use the power of the law and twist it around and do something so horrible, but it's legal, so he gets his way. He outsmarted us. Well, just this one time, Biden got his way. And he certainly deserved that. And the people who he's protecting, they don't deserve the hell that they would have gone through had he not done that. And, yeah, if they're innocent, what do they have to worry about? I'll tell you what they have to worry about. They have to worry about spending hours, days, months, years even, trying to defend themselves, protecting themselves against lunatics that will threaten them, spending hundreds of thousands of dollars on legal fees. None of that comes back. None of that goes away afterwards, after you're proven completely innocent of wrongdoing. So yeah, of course you're going to pardon people who are being threatened like that, innocent people who did nothing wrong. I just wish that we, the American people, had that kind of fortitude to stand up for ourselves against these incoming fascists that have made no secret of the fact that they're going to tear apart all the things that make this country strong and filled with potential. Yeah, we're going to tear down the windmills. We're going to basically not take part in climate control of any sort. We're just going to keep polluting. We're going to have more coal than ever. We're going to keep digging and mining and all of that. We're leaving the World Health Organization. Yeah, because what has the World Health Organization ever done? we're basically undoing so much. It'll take decades to recover from, if we ever do recover from it. So yeah, it's a sad time. But if it gets you angry, if it gets you motivated to do something, then it's a good time, and it's possibly a time that was needed for us to get that motivation and keep it this time. It was hard to watch yesterday, it really was. So much ignorance, so much capitulation. But you learn something about that. If you didn't take part in that, you've got something to be proud of. You know, you've got something that you can point to and say, I didn't cave in. I didn't get intimidated by these powerful people that are basically bullies. And watch how the billionaires are more afraid than anybody, because I guess they have so much to lose. It was really something, you know. You had the CEOs of Facebook, and of course you had Musk there. You had the Google people. You had the CEO of TikTok sitting next to Tulsi Gabbard, of all people. She supposedly is going to be in charge of intelligence, and the social media giant that supposedly is run by the government of China, or at least has extremely close ties and cannot refuse any request made by that massive government, she's chumming around with them after already being accused of parroting Vladimir Putin talking points. Wow, okay, what an era we are about to head into.
Yeah, this is like directly after we find out our entire phone network has been breached by this state actor. So, like, it's just crazy that we would even now be expecting to have to rebuke all the blame. I mean, they're going to be in power, so fix it. Do whatever you're going to do that you're so upset about. I don't think they should have any more grievances, right?
No, they shouldn't. They got everything they want.
This is their swan song. They've won. They've got all the wind at their back. They've declared they don't need Democrats. There's no place for Democrats in their administration. So, fine. Fix it. Make your world the way you envision it. And keep the complaints to yourself. Or save them for one another.
Mm-hmm.
Because you'll find nothing but rebuke from the opposition. No more. There's no more blame to be put. I mean, it's so convenient because the leadership side, like administration, the people that are sycophanting from industry, they'll be okay. They might suffer a little. But the people in the street, the people, everyday people that believed all of this and think that so much is going to be solved by this, if and when, and I'm saying when, but let's just throw if in there, if it doesn't go that way, who will they redress in their government? Their government. I really want to know. When will blaming people that aren't involved in any of it, not the Congress, not the judiciary, and not the executive, when will they stop blaming people that have no control over it? And I hope it's yesterday. Because that itself is emblematic of the lie that you've fallen for. It's misplaced blame. You want to keep doing that, you'll get nothing but rebuke. Nothing. Nothing.
Mm-hmm. So true. Well, I don't think they know it's their swan song. I don't think they realize that yet, but it's gonna happen fairly soon, I believe. I mean, have you checked the price of eggs? Have they gone down? I don't think they have. The gas prices look exactly the same. Yeah, I know. It's only been a day. But let's see how it is in a month. Let's see how it is a few months down the road. Let's see how it is when these tariffs are imposed. Trump is now saying February 1st is the day for 25% tariffs on Canada. Canada. I mean, wow, okay. And what, are we still planning to invade Greenland and Panama and all these other places from the guy who said he's not going to get us into any more wars? And on the subject of wars, what's going on with Ukraine? You said you'd end that in a day. Well, that hasn't happened. And, you know, the Middle East, that's kind of still pretty tense. I don't know what the plan is for that. Just a lot of executive orders and a lot of, I don't know, just very, very short-sighted policies and opinions and things like that. So, you know, forgive me if I don't immediately buy into all these simple solutions to complex problems.
Indeed, yeah. The complexities will only compound and fragment and get more and more chaotic when you don't have competent leaders in these various positions. And I think, in my humble opinion, that there is a severe lack of competency in the soon to be installed government, contrary to the way they've characterized it, that, you know, everybody else is incompetent. Well, let's see. Let's see what you do when someone tries you, okay? You may have all the platitudes for how super our power is, but there are plenty of other interested parties who want to find out.
Definitely. Let's take a break. I want to play something from, well, you'll recognize it if you've ever seen this film. And you also recognize if I turn the volume up on the channel here. I'm sorry about that. Boy, I've been flustered today. Yeah, and technology's not cooperating either. Let's try it now.
I believe a track from the film Eraserhead, and this is obviously a reference to someone I think we all hope is in a heaven of sorts, and not being one to have experienced this new era, perhaps that's heaven enough. Without being too morbid, I'm talking about David Lynch having left us.
You know, yesterday, in addition to being the worst Martin Luther King Day ever, yesterday was also David Lynch's birthday. He would have turned 79. And that was an emotional thing, just realizing that he's gone. Such a genius, gave us so much. We'll be processing that for quite a long time. But, Kyle, you have yet to see Eraserhead, so you have something to look forward to. And, of course, that was the lady in the radiator singing in heaven, and just one of the classics. I'll never forget the first time I saw that.
I haven't seen any, really, of his feature-length work, except for Blue Velvet, which I watched in a film noir course in my college years, pursuing a degree in communications. So, yeah, it was important to recognize the body of work I've yet to actually ingest as far as that goes. So, I think I saw bits of Lost Highway. He did that, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I saw bits of that, but I don't think I've actually watched it in entirety as a proper post-academic pseudo-scholar of film. But,
of course,
yeah.
You've seen Twin Peaks.
Oh, I've seen plenty of Twin Peaks courtesy of you, actually. And a lot of David Lynch's stuff, I think, was stuff I was turned on to because of, your interest and understanding of his significance. And I really wanted to go back and watch Twin Peaks because it was one of those shows that was occurring when I was younger. And it's sort of a salient memory, but I wasn't really old enough to appreciate it as it was airing. And there were other shows, Northern Exposure. These are also shows that took place in my home, a place of origin, Washington State, as it were. And he was a huge contributor to Washington Filmworks, which is kind of like the New York or Atlanta's promotion organization for the state. So a lot of the support and production services were a big deal for Washington, which has a really beautiful landscape and is used for one or the other, car commercials, sure, but, and different productions. But a big, huge television event like that, it's a big deal for people that work in the industry in that state and in any state to have it showcased in that way. So it is, I think, to me, inspirational and someone I would aspire to be even remotely like. And he inspired a lot of filmmakers and a lot of artists. He was really interested in music and sculpture, even he was a painter before he got into film. And as a photographer, I've known a lot of photographers, some of the best photographers in analog photography were themselves painters. And it is painting with light. So his eye and his just ability to tell stories is so unique, and I don't think something I fully even understand. As I said, I've not seen a lot of the feature length stuff, and there's just so many quirky aspects to his character and stuff that so many people are appreciating right now and will, in honor of him having passed, perhaps looking at it anew. So anyway, there's lots to say there, but hopefully everyone is appreciating that and maybe taking on some of the wisdom that he tried in earnest to share with the public in seriousness. I'm speaking about meditation and positivity. He was big into positivity and mental outlook, as deranged and kind of disturbing as some of his work is and character building was in the stories he told. He was a very affable, friendly person outwardly as he presented to people in the industry and many people that knew him. So, we can take on some of those affectations and drink some black coffee. And maybe don't smoke.
He smoked a lot. He was emphysema that he had.
He was diagnosed with emphysema.
And so he needed secondary oxygen. And then the fires happened in Los Angeles. He had to be moved, and that was too much. That was just too much for somebody in his condition. I don't know how much longer he would have survived had that not happened. But it's... it's just really, really sad, outrageous that happened. And
I gave my lungs a break this week.
Good. Well, it's a different kind of smoking you do, but
that's true.
Still, you gotta be careful.
Be good to your body.
Look out for yourself. Absolutely, and I think that should be the theme of what's ahead for all of us. But yeah, David Lynch, appreciation of coffee and appreciation of, you know, the finer things of life, in a quirky way, you know what I mean? So go out and see a David Lynch film or, you know, watch Twin Peaks or something, or listen to the music. He also was key in so much. I mean, just the soundtrack, the Julie Cruz, albums. He would often write lyrics. Angelo Badalamenti would do the music. Julie Cruz would do the vocals.
But he was heavily involved. I mean, he would
absolutely,
he would
yeah.
come up with a concept, and Angelo would you know, play a little bit back, or they would work very closely in coming up with that stuff. So maybe he wasn't necessarily a composer in the same way, but he would help with the composition, and that's why a lot of those works are so eerie and so beautiful and quintessentially Lynchian.
Yes, definitely. So, okay, back to where we've landed on January 21st, 2025. It's going to be challenging. It's going to be depressing. It's going to be a lot. But we have each other. We have each other, and we also have a whole lot that we have built. Now, just today, the day after the nonsense of yesterday, this state, the state I'm speaking to you from, New York, and 17 other states, I don't see Washington in here, Kyle. I don't know why I don't see Washington. Maybe you can make a call to Washington government and make sure they get signed on. But California, Colorado, Connecticut, Delaware, Hawaii, Maine, Maryland, Massachusetts, Michigan, Minnesota, Nevada, New Jersey, New Mexico, North Carolina, Rhode Island, Vermont, Wisconsin, the District of Columbia, the city of San Francisco, and, of course, the state of New York. They have all sued to stop President Trump from ending birthright citizenship the day after he signed an executive order attempting to gut what has been recognized as a constitutional right for more than 125 years. He can't do that. He can't just go in and rewrite the Constitution. Now, what he can do is get his pals at the Supreme Court to reinterpret the Constitution and somehow have him get his way that way. But that's not how you change the Constitution. You change the Constitution through a three-quarter vote of the states and the legislatures and the Senate and the House. It's a long thing. It takes a while. But yeah, so lawsuits are being filed to stop that. Now, what birthright citizenship? If you're born in this country, you're a citizen of this country, even if your parents aren't. That's the way it's always been. And the current racism and hatred that many people are exhibiting does not change that. All right? It's something we need to defend. Ask yourself, what has changed? What's different? Why do you feel the need to do this now? Is it our shrinking population? Is it the abundance of jobs that those of us who have, you know, grown up fairly privileged, that we don't want to do these jobs?
It's anchor babies.
Well, it's disgusting. It's shameful. It really is. Now you're going to say people who were born in this country are going to be deported. It just keeps getting worse and worse. Birthright citizenship, according to the New Hampshire lawsuit, embodies America's most fundamental promise that all children born on our soil begin life as full and equal members of our national community, regardless of their parents' origins, status, or circumstances. Now, flouting the Constitution's dictates, statutory commands, and long-standing Supreme Court precedent, Defendant President Donald Trump, yes, she always put defendant before his name, attempts to upend one of the most fundamental American constitutional values by denying citizenship to children born on American soil to a mother who is unlawfully present or temporarily present and a father who is not a U.S. citizen or lawful permanent resident. Now, that has ending birthright citizenship has long been a policy goal of some of those who want stricter immigration laws. Some conservative scholars have argued that the wording of the 14th Amendment, saying that citizenship must be granted to those subject to the jurisdiction of the United States, should exclude born in America children of those who aren't here legally. But that is not the consensus of most constitutional scholars. And although the U.S. Supreme Court hasn't explicitly ruled whether these children are entitled to birthright citizenship, there are similar cases in which the court ruled that those kids are automatically citizens. So, could be the first major loss. Let's hope so. Um, There
you
are
want to talk about the gender rules?
Oh, God.
There's that, too. I mean, it's in the same vein, but it's similar, you know, edict of, yes, we're binary, we only have two genders. That was a...
Why are these the priorities? Why does this bother them so much? You have to go into it a little bit, you know? That's on Inauguration Day, Trump has to say there's only male, there's only female, and everything else doesn't count, you know? How does this affect anyone other than the people that it affects? Meaning the people who are saying what they identify as. How does that hurt you? How does it threaten you? You know, I always want to ask these Republicans, what is the issue? You know, is there something you want to talk about? Because it's none of their damn business, you know? It's none of their business. And it's offensive to everybody.
What is ironic to me is that these are the tactics of dominant forces in culture, like the hegemonic construction, the nuclear family, or the sort of archetype of American relationships that are male and female. And if there's any allowance, any deviation from that, it's somehow an affront to what is the absolute dominating cultural force. Like, it's not even 50-50. And I've said this before on this very show, like, the fact that there are people out or people that are identifying in different ways, and that we're coming up with ways of talking about different types of people and different experiences they have with their biology or with their gender identity, which actually makes it easier for people who are not familiar with people that are in the minority. It makes it easier for them to actually understand what and who they're talking about because there are labels and things that maybe even shouldn't even be, but they're there so that people that are, uninitiated don't get confused.
People who are struggling with this.
So, exactly. So, to feel as though that it's emergent and that it's somehow gaining traction, that's not what's happening. What has happened, and I've made this comparison before, is more people are identifying because we are a more open society, a more tolerant, or shall we say, more accepting society that is, you know, much more information and much more conversation around minority cultures and things that are not in that enormous dominant sphere of like the hundreds of millions of people who aren't in any way defined in these categories. Maybe they know people or they have family members or people in their community groups, at schools, wherever, workplace. And you see changes like bathrooms that aren't as distinct or, you know, hygiene products. All of that is reflective of a society that acknowledges there's difference even though, and this is the asterisk, even though it's not dominant. Mm-hmm. So that you're seeing more of it is because society's improved. We've got more information. We can do this. We can understand and coexist and not reflexively react and try to eliminate it. But, and save for the current moment, which is, and the parallel that I've made and that I'm getting to, and I know this is very long-winded, is handedness, okay? You have more people identifying as left-handed because they're not corrected. I know it's a complete oversimplification, but the point is the dominant culture doesn't correct that, so there are more people that identify as being different than the dominant cultural phenomena. This is exactly an exact parallel in fundamental ways, I think. It's my opinion.
That's a very good point. I mean, can you imagine if they're railing against left-handed people like they're railing against transgender people or gay people? They're not okay. They've accepted gay people for now.
No, yeah.
Don't think that's going to last if they're completely able to, you know, erase transgender people from you know the spectrum.
That's why they're going for it. They see it as low-hanging fruit or you know something they can mm-hmm. attack because it isn't. It isn't a gender, or it is a gender abnormality, I guess, in their opinion. Whereas gay and lesbian folks are their gender, they just are interested in people of their gender. So that's maybe a little bit more than they can bite. And so they're going, I think, in this way, but it, as you said, it is just a slippery slope. As the more that they can rally the dominant force to try to disappear as though these communities weren't visible, as though they were visible in the first place. I mean, it's a joke how much they get. So to that end, it is their prerogative, I think. And I think it, quite ironically, because they're not actually being threatened. It's just that people realize there are other ways than the dominant forces.
Exactly. Yes. The point is, gay people have been around forever. Transgender people have been around forever. It's not a new thing. It's not something that the liberals have come up with. I don't know how this turned into a liberal thing. Just like I don't know how, you know, when people say there's high crime rates, suddenly that's a liberal thing, not a conservative thing. The red states have higher crime rates than the blue states. But that's a whole other issue here. Have you ever heard the name Rene Richards, Kyle?
No.
Rene Richards is an American ophthalmologist, former tennis player, who competed on the professional circuit, became widely known following male-to-female medical affirmation, and she fought to compete as a woman in the 1976 U.S. Open. She's 90 years old now. This, you know, basically, she won. The Supreme Court ruled in her favor, a landmark case in transgender rights, back in the 1970s. We've been here before. We've done this. We've accomplished this. We are not going back. I mean, yeah, it might seem like we've gone back, but we don't have to hitch our trailer to this at all. And just know that there is precedent, there is history, and there is great pride in the accomplishments that we are not going to let go of. They can make all the proclamations they want. It's not going to change biology. It's not going to change history. And it's not going to change the future, because we all remain in control of that. It's easy to forget. It's easy to feel like we have no friends, like it's all lost. And, elections can make you feel that way. But keep in mind, despite the nonsense you're hearing, this was not a runaway race. This was not a mandate. This was rather close. I mean, not as... It didn't go the way I wanted it to, and there's far too many people, I think, that were misled, and far too much ineptness on the side that I wanted to win. But that doesn't mean there is not a sizable opposition that has power.
And just to go back to the handedness analogy, there's some interesting writing about left-handed warriors throughout time.
Oh, interesting.
And their success. So understand, difference is valuable.
Yes, I like that. I like that a lot. All right, well, difference is valuable here at WUSB. You know, we didn't even really open up the phone. We gave the phone number out once. I'm sorry, folks. Next week, maybe take phone calls? Yeah, and write it down. That way you can make an appointment and be here next Tuesday. Yeah, you see people calling now. It's too late. I'm sorry. We're signing out now.
Hello?
Yeah, no, don't mess with that. But you can write to us, otw@2600.com. And feel free to mouth off to us. Whether you agree, disagree, doesn't matter. Basically, we want the dialogue. We want people to think. Not just follow.
Do you want fries or salad with that?
Very funny, Kyle. Very funny. We would never treat our listeners like they're going on a drive-up.
And what kind of milkshake?
All right. It's been difficult. It's going to be difficult. But you know what? It's also going to be good. You know? We've got each other.
Have a sense of humor.
You got to keep that sense of humor. You got to keep the sense of humor.
They don't want you to be happy. They don't want you to laugh. They want you to be mad.
They're not happy. Remember that. They are always angry.
You got to laugh.
All right. Hey, there are so many places we all belong. Don't shy away from that. And have fun.
Team up.
Yeah. We will see you next week. And keep listening to WUSB. You never know what you're going to hear next.
Stay in your power.
Good night.
Time and place for us.